ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 9 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम ऑल दैट इज मटेरियल टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 मना एकत्र संयुञ्ज्यात् जिता श्वासः जित आसनः वैराग्य अभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणं अतन्द्रितः मन एकत्र संयुञ्ज्यात् जितस्वासो जितासनः वैराग्याभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणं मतन्द्रितः मन एकत्र संयुञ्ज्यात् जितश्वासो जितासनः वैराग्याभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणं मतन्द्रितः मन एकत्र संयुञ्ज्यात् जितश्वासो जितासनः वैराग्याभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणं मतन्द्रितः मन एकत्र संयुञ्ज्यात् जितश्वासो जितासनः वैराग्याभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणमतन्द्रितः मतजित् अनैकत्र संयुज्य जितश्वासो जितासनः वैराग्याभ्यासयोगेन ध्रियमाणं मतन्द्रितः मनः द माइंड एकत्र इन वन प्लेस संयुञ्ज्यात् वन शुड फिक्स जिता कॉन्कर्ड श्वासः द ब्रीदिंग प्रोसेस जिता कॉन्कर्ड आसनः the yoga sitting postures vairagya by detachment abhyasa yogena by the regulated practice of yoga dhriyamanam the mind being steadied atandritaha very carefully Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Having perfected the yoga sitting postures and conquered the breathing process, one should make the mind steady by detachment and regulated practice of yoga. Thus, one should carefully fix the mind on the single goal of yoga practice. Purport. One should develop vairagya or detachment by observing that all material things are doomed. Thus, one should take to the regulated practice of yoga, which in this age means the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Avadhuta Brahmana is recommending Bhakti Mishra Ashtanga Yoga, or the Eightfold Mystic Yoga process performed as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The desire to enjoy the material world is so strong that the mind wanders here and there uncontrollably. Therefore, it is stated, Dhriyamanam, the mind must be fixed in the goal of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the perfect stage of mental concentration called Samadhi, there is no longer any distinction between internal and external vision, since one can see the absolute truth everywhere. In the mystic yoga process, one must sit properly, and then it is possible to control the different airs within the body. When the breathing process is controlled, the mind, which is dependent upon the actions of the bodily airs, is easily fixed in higher consciousness. But although the mind may be momentarily controlled, if one is overwhelmed by the desire for sense gratification, the mind will again be lost. Thus, this verse emphasizes vairagya, detachment from material illusion. This is attained by Abhyasa Yoga, the regulated practice of Krishna consciousness, which is the highest yoga system as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmanaha shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. And of all yogis who he always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Asindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we are discussing from the 11th canto, chapter 9, text 11. So I would like to express my deep gratitude for giving me opportunity to serve all of you. And I'm more used to speak in Marathi, so I give seminars in English, but giving spiritual pravachan is very occasional, so please bear with me. So in this verse, as we read, that Srila Prabhupada's disciples are mentioning that we should cultivate detachment because all the material things are doomed. And eventually the purport explains that Bhakti Mishra Ashtanga Yoga, that eightfold mystic, and outselling it in offering it as a Krishna's service. So today we'll just highlight more on practical aspects of detachment in Krishna consciousness. I know it is a very difficult topic, but for our purification we can definitely discuss. Vairagya, the detachment, is a very threatening word, and it is not heard or being discussed in contemporary world. When we discuss such topic to modern youth or those who are running after material pleasures, it sounds very weird. Because for them, the purpose of life is enjoyment. And when it comes to optimum saturation, then naturally whatever comes is they treat it as a vairagya. In economics, it is known as diminishing marginal utility. When we do maximum sense gratification, then time comes when we don't feel like doing the same thing which gave us enjoyment. It could be any sort of enjoyment. For example, eating rasgullas or gulab jam. We eat as much as we want until the time we get that feeling, oh, I can't eat it. I can't even see that gulab jam. For them, that is vairagya. But here the vairagya is not because of frustration. This vairagya is not out of anything, just like when we get angry, we just get disconnected from the people around us. This is not the vairagya out of frustration. It is a deeper and devotional vairagya detachment which we are discussing. As here we find it is mentioned that sense gratification is very strong, and whenever we try to control the desire to gratify our senses, some or other there could be a temptation and senses can be distracted from devotional path. And here it is mentioned that Bhakti Mishra Ashtanga Yoga. But Prabhupada and purport says that in this Kali Yuga that is not feasible, and more we can practice Krishna consciousness, regulated principles of Krishna consciousness and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Just like in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked the same question to Lord Krishna, that Chanchalam hi Mana Krishna. He says that whatever you have explained, O Madhusudana, I feel this is impractical in this age for me to follow. For me, I can control the wind, but to control the mind is much difficult task for me. And Lord Krishna, although being friend and supreme personality of Godhead, he doesn't say that, he doesn't deny it. He rather acknowledges, he agrees that yes, Arjuna, it is very difficult for the mind to be controlled, but abhyasa yoga yuktena and vairagina. By two things, Lord Krishna mentions that by practice of regulative principles and abhyasa yoga and vairagya, detachment. And in that, Prabhupada writes a very wonderful meaning of vairagya. He says that vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of mind in spirit. There are two aspects of vairagya. One is detachment from the matter, just like here it is mentioned, whatever is material will be doomed. Even the title is detachment from all that is material. So one thing is being detached from all that is material. But many people or many spiritualists, they think that detachment is all in all. That Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. We have to be detached from this world. But detachment or vairagya in and of itself is not complete. The second part is engagement of mind in spirit or in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So detachment, when it has a purpose, then it becomes sublime. Then it becomes yukta vairagya, what Rupa Goswami says. There are two types of vairagya Rupa Goswami mentions. One is falgu vairagya and another is yukta vairagya. Prapanchikataya buddhi hari sambandhi vastunam. That the things which have potential to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, the propensities, the inclinations, or the physical things which has the potential to be offered to Krishna in devotional service. If we reject it as material, then that is called as false renunciation. But what is real renunciation? Anasaktasya vishayan, that being attached internally but engaging all that can be potentially engaged for Krishna's service and offering it as a loving service of God, that is yukta vairagya, real detachment. Some of our devotees say that in ISKCON, anything can be justified by these two philosophies. One is yukta vairagya and second is achintya bhedaved. Because achintya bhedaved, it is inconceivable, and yukta vairagya, anything can be offered as Krishna's service. But Prabhupada mentions that yukta vairagya needs to be practiced under the guidance of expert Vaishnava. Otherwise, we can justify all our sense gratification activities under the plea of devotional service. So, guidance is required. So, if we just highlight on these two terms, detachment from matter and engagement of mind in spirit. And in the purport, eventually it is said that at the samadhi level, there is no internal or external thing. Everything is, the devotee sees everything related to Krishna or sees Krishna everywhere. But for a sadhaka, practitioner devotee, we can engage our propensities in the service of Krishna. Because even like in many organizations, this concept is there, total employee engagement in human resource. They are always worried that all the employees are coming to the organization, but very few are passionate about their work. Very few are contributing to the organization. And there was a survey conducted by International Survey Forum, and they found out that only 19% employees are interested or very passionate about what they do. So it is very crucial to understand one's propensities, one's swabhava, one's swadharma, one's natural inclinations, one's natural propensities, skills, talents, and dovetailing it in Krishna's service. Then that service becomes more conducive for long term. Otherwise, that same seva could become burdensome. So understanding one's nature, talents, attributes, and accordingly engaging and pleasing Lord and Vaishnavas. Just like we see in Prabhupada's times, devotees when they were preaching, and George Harrison Prabhu, he was being preached and he was taking interest in Krishna consciousness. So many initial devotees, they were trying to convince that you should take to spiritual life more seriously and externally also you should behave like devotees. But Prabhupada, being an expert Vaishnava, he could understand what could be his potential to influence people in general. So he requested him, he instructed him that you be what you are, but internally cultivate this Krishna consciousness. So this is also a sort of yukta vairagya. Even Peter Burwash, he has been preaching to this world, and he was a tennis player, internationally proclaimed, acclaimed. But Prabhupada also preached him that whatever you are doing, he travels like around 133 countries and preaches. But Prabhupada told him, you can use your propensity and preach, at least bring people to sattvic level, bring people to higher consciousness. So engaging according to the propensities and engaging in that spiritual way, that is a sort of gradual vairagya. And vairagya, as we discussed, in and of itself is incomplete. Then what is the ultimate purpose of vairagya? Is to, as it is said here, being engaged our mind in spiritual activities. So Lord Krishna says in Gita, Maya Sakta Manaparata. Prabhupada has given many lectures on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, that engaging our activities in Lord's service. Maya Sakta Manaparata. The term comes as asakti, attachment. We should cultivate attachment to Lord and whatever is related to the Lord. So if you want to really cultivate detachment, the positive alternative is developing attachment to the Lord. In other spiritual processes, it is very difficult. Even we find in Jnana Yoga, other processes of yoga, detachment appears very stringent. But in devotional life, we find that detachment is a gradual process, and more of it is getting attracted to the Lord. And once we get that attachment, that higher taste of pleasing Lord, then whatever is material, naturally it wanes out, it goes away. In this context, I just like to make one comparison between two fathers. In our shastras, there are two fathers who demonstrated altogether two different role models. One is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, he is blind, he wanted to be a king, and his 100 sons, who role model his father in much higher way, Baap se beta savai, because he was helpless, he was desperate, but he could not do much. But Duryodhan and company, they were more attached, more aggressive, more passionate. And Dhritarashtra, he was always holding the throne, possessions, and he could not show a role model of how a king should be. That gradually, even if one is king, he needs to develop that detachment and go to pursue devotional service. And to the degree he was so attached that even after the Kurukshetra war, he took shelter of Pandavas. And he was helpless, he was like totally desperate. And on the other hand, there is one father, he is King Rishabhdev. And he had also many sons. And what was his instruction to his sons? Tapo Divyam. That now we have got this human form of life, and it is meant for Divya Tapasya. It is meant for purification, to perform austerities. And what we will gain after performing this tapasya? Brahma Saukhyam Anantam. That once we get detached from this material world, we'll cultivate this higher sense of devotional service, and we will get Brahma Saukhyam, this spiritual ecstasy and spiritual bliss. And Prabhupada, in that Tapo Divyam Purport, he says that most of the humanity is not aware of the higher purpose of life. And Prabhupada specifically writes in that purport, I don't know how it like got connected, like Prabhupada says that people in general are traveling by train two, three hours to and fro. And they are working very hard, and their philosophy is we have to work hard to get some material pleasure. And the pleasure they get is also very less compared to the labor they undergo. But Rishabhdev is saying that Tapo Divyam, we should cultivate detachment by performing austerities. So we find these two fathers highlighting two different philosophies. Dhritarashtra was so attached, and he did not have any spiritual philosophy. So he was just getting more and more attached to the things, even after death of all of his sons. And here we find Rishabhdev is instructing. When is he instructing? He was about to perform. He was about to detach everything. He is instructing all of his sons. But fortunately, when there is intervention of a pure devotee, compassionate devotee, Vaishnava, even such a demoniac and attached person like Dhritarashtra gets mercy of the Lord. And that is the intervention of Vidura. When Vidura, his brother, he sees that his brother being attached and totally oblivious of the fact of higher reality, he felt that compassion. And he chastised him. The words he used was very heavy, but it was the need. Just like a doctor, sometimes he treats patients with sweet pills, sugar-coated pills, but sometimes he needs to operate. Similarly, Vidura could see that Dhritarashtra, he will not be cured by this sugar-coated pills. He needs to be chastised. He needs to be shaken up. And then, eventually, Dhritarashtra took to the spiritual process, and we read in the Bhagavatam, he got that Narottama stage and all that. So, Brahma Saukhyam Anantam, that Param Drishtva, that higher taste, unless we have higher taste, because Prabhupada writes here that even we master the asanas, even we master the breathing processes, but still senses are very strong. In this new modern spirituality, many things are coming up, and mindfulness has become a buzzword. You will find all the corporates, all the organizations, they are focusing on mindfulness. And many of them, they highlight about mindfulness as controlling one's breathing air, just being in the present moment. And in that way, we will be like composed, peaceful. And you will find in organizations, just like I'm into this training services, human resource, in one of my major assignments, my client told, just highlight about spirituality and talk about emotional intelligence. Don't talk about productivity, efficiency, and KRA, KPI. Don't talk anything. Just give them spirituality. And I was very happy. But eventually, when we see that spirituality, whatever they understand by spirituality, many of the authors, many of the organizations, their understanding is more of finding meaning of life, contributing to the society. But as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, whatever we have received, the depth and the breadth of spirituality and the role models and the epitome of spiritual life, we are very blessed, because whatever people think as spiritual many times is more of higher dimension of ethics or code of conduct or morality. But whatever we have, and for them it is a part of life. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas it is whole and soul. Like, life is all about spirituality. But one thing is very important. How we demonstrate spirituality when we are in the real world will be observed by people around us. Because when we are in this world and whenever we interact with people around, they expect some code of conduct from spiritual people, especially those who follow spirituality as path. And sometimes, whenever they see any contradictory behavior, especially because that lenses are, magnifying lenses are always around devotees, then they will obviously comment. For example, like, if you are in the any type of queue, and if suppose devotee, he doesn't follow the rules, then immediately these small things will make them think that spirituality is not just about external. They are very keen on that. So as a practicing devotee, just like Prabhupada said that, my disciples will be perfect gentlemen. So that is the way it is. We can preach by our actions that spirituality actually works. It is not just bookish, it is not just philosophical, but it is doable. And in this verse, Prabhupada also, in this purport, it is highlighted, Dhriyamanam, the word Dhriyamanam. And Dhriyamanam means being focused on the goal of yoga or perfection. And focus is very much required if you want to achieve any goal. And Prabhupada also writes in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. If one wants to achieve the perfection of goal, then we need to be focused. And in that Prabhupada writes that following the instructions of Guru and considering instructions of Guru as one's life and soul is the ultimate focus. So, in that way, whenever sense gratification, the temptations will come, but we keep the instructions of Guru, Vaishnavas and the Shastras, lessons as the sacred principles of our life, sense gratification, temptation will always be there, distractions will always be there. But when we highlight, when we remind ourselves that whatever my Guru has instructed, whatever vows I have taken during initiation or in my mind, then even temptations will come and go. But our commitment to our Guru, our commitment to Prabhupada and our commitment to Lord will not get affected. So it's very important that if we want to control the urge of sense gratification, then we must find higher taste in devotional activities. And also, cultivate devotional service, because In first canto, it is explained that Vasudeva Bhakti, Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. As we perform devotional service, automatically two results, two outcomes we can expect. One is Jnanam and Vairagyam. One is we will get devotional knowledge and also detachment from whatever is material. So, how do we cultivate that higher test? Govinda's higher test is one higher test we have. But about higher test of holy name, higher test of Vaishnavas. That is by engaging in the loving devotional processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Because Prabhupada also writes in this purport, the disciples of Prabhupada, that Yoginam api sarvesham, the highest, topmost yoga system is Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we feel that, I'm not yogi, I don't know even basic asanas, and how come I can become the topmost of yogi? But in the Bhagavatam, we get this specific example of Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni. The Durvas Muni, he himself was a yogi. He could travel to any places, not only in material world, but even if he wished, he could go beyond material world. And here is Amrish Maharaj, who is totally occupied in all the worldly affairs. He has to rule the kingdom, and he is totally occupied. He is the like emperor of the whole world. But as we know, when Durvas Muni had come there, and it was the time to break the fast, and since he was a guest, Durvas Muni, Amrish Maharaj thought like, how can I break fast if my guest hasn't come? So he just drinks a drop of Charanamrit. And Durvas Muni gets angry, he gets annoyed, and he curses. But Narayana Parasarve, na kutashchana bibhyati. Amrish Maharaj, being devotee, he doesn't get affected. He just takes it as a mercy of the Lord. And then we find that when Amrish Maharaj was like being challenged by Durvas Muni, he doesn't do anything to retaliate, but Lord Vishnu takes it personally, and Sudarshana chases after him. And then he runs everywhere till he even goes to Vaikuntha planet. That much potency he had. But Narayana says that I can't help this situation. You have to surrender to Amrish Maharaj. Because Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Because Amrish Maharaj had engaged all his senses, beginning with mind, to the Lord. That's why he felt that attachment to Lord and detachment from whatever is happening in his life. But Durvas Muni, he was totally affected by the situation. He did not know what to do. So in this way, we can say that your devotional service or Krishna consciousness precedes all the other forms of yoga practices. And practicing regulated Krishna consciousness, that is Abhyasa Yoga, Prabhupada writes, we need to practice diet and expert treatment. Just like as we need to cure disease, we need to follow diet and we need to take treatment. For the disease of Bhavarog or detachment, attachment, we need to follow the diet of accepting whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, taking Lord's Prasadam. And medicine or expert treatment is Navavidha Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, beginning with hearing and chanting. So, in order to cultivate this detachment, I would like to just highlight what could be the daily practices by which we can ensure that we are gradually getting detached from whatever is material, and whatever is spiritual, we are getting more attached to it. So there could be some basic things. I have just highlighted some basic things where we can just, being introspective, we can analyze that, am I leading towards real detachment? Am I leading to real spiritual practice? So, one thing is, the foundation or the main source of this attachment is our ego. So, we can take this daily practice or inventory periodically, that is my ego grounded? Am I feeling grounded, like my foundational principles are strong? And whenever the distractions of mind come, in terms of physical distractions like lust, anger, or in terms of subtle distractions like pride or profit, adoration, distinction. So am I feeling grounded? And also, do I feel this sense of superiority when being a devotee? Just like we, Prabhupada always mentions karmis, and these are like material people, they are karmis, they are bhogis. But we as a sadhaka, can we be more compassionate towards them rather than blaming them to be materialistic people? Because we were one among them. Fortunately, we got Krishna consciousness and our life is gradually changing. But can we have a compassionate approach towards them and help them take to Krishna consciousness? So do we feel that holier than thou syndrome, that I am better than them? Or do we feel fortunate? And also, healthy attachment towards devotees, healthy attachment towards Krishna consciousness processes. And in that, whatever obstacles are coming, especially in community living, we are in community, we stay in community of devotees, and even in family life we have devotees. So in these relationships there could be many issues or challenges apparently surfacing. But can we deal with these more gently and more lovingly? Just like between relationship, like issue of non-forgiving. Because many times we say that I can forgive all people except this one. But that is the special arrangement of Krishna, that this person is specially showing up and telling us that I need to work out on this aspect of my life, that can I be more forgiving. Because our acharyas have set very high standards to forgiving even those who hurt them. But to begin with, can we start with forgiving those who are around us, who actually love us, but somehow or other, because of issues of our own emotions, our own anarthas, can we wholeheartedly accept the person as he or she is? Can we be more loving? Can we be more compassionate? So that approach we can practice. Another aspect is letting go. We hold on to many things many times. Things happened in the past, thing happened recently about the people, about the issues. But can we start our detachment with this habit of letting go? Because unless we let go, in one philosophy they say, let go and let God. Let go of the things and let God intervene. Let God take charge. Because unless we give charge to God, we won't be able to let go. So let go of the things and let God take the charge. And in spiritual communities, or even our own practice, I was just thinking, these four emotional cancers are there. Many cancers are there, but they begin with this term C. So there is a tendency to complain. We complain about the things around us. We complain about what is not happening good in my life. Why Krishna is doing to me like this? Or we can complain about our seniors, why they are not understanding my position, or why I am being treated like this. So complaining is natural in this world. And there is a tendency to another C, is emotional cancer, is compete. We have a tendency to compete because since school days we are forcibly like preached that this world is full of competition. Even the competition in marks, it is only points, 95 point, 94 point, gold medal, silver medal, milliseconds competition. So we see the world around as competition. And even when we come into devotional service, we may treat somebody as our competitor because that conditioning is so strong. So competition is there. Criticism, sometimes people claim their power by criticizing others. So this is also emotional cancer. And last is comparing ourselves with others. So can we detach all these four things with positive attachment? Rather than complaining, can I ask question to myself? How can I contribute? Rather than complaining, I can ask myself, can I contribute rather than complaining? Can I be part of solution rather than being part of problem? So in that way, we will take charge of our life. We will be responsible for whatever we do. And we will not blame others for things happening in our life, around our life, or in society. So contribution can be replaced. rather than competing, can we collaborate, can we cooperate? Because competition will not serve any purpose. But collaborating, cooperating, Prabhupada's last instruction was, if you want to really please me, then cooperate with each other. Yes, how you can show your love by how you cooperate with each other. So when we cooperate, when we collaborate, then there is no feeling of competition. We see Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Everybody is in alignment. Everybody is in harmony. Rather than criticizing, can we compliment each other? Can we appreciate? Compliment in both ways. Compliment means appreciating, praising, and compliment means getting along with them, supporting them. So in that way, the tendency to criticize can be positively replaced. And rather than comparing, can I be content in whatever I have received? My talents, my upbringing, my skills, my position, whatever I have received. Rather than comparing with others, can I be peaceful within that? I am so fortunate, I am so grateful to the Lord for giving me whatever He has bestowed upon me. And also congratulating others rather than comparing. Like whatever they are doing, taking happiness in others' happiness. So we can replace, we can detach from these negative emotional cancers and replace them with positive. And for developing positive attachment, already we need not reinvent anything. It is already given by Rupa Goswami. Like among the 64 items, the main 5 items of devotional service, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vasar, Shri Murtira, Shraddhaya Sevan. This is also a parameter. How much attachment we have developed for all these 5 aspects, that will indicate that where we stand in our devotional life. Is attachment to the Sadhu Sangha, being in the association of devotees and taking their association, serving them. Nama Kirtan, Prabhupada says that only holy name is the way in this age. So developing attachment for the holy name. Bhagavat Shravan, listening to or reading Bhagavatam, developing attachment for the philosophy, for this, practicing this philosophy. And Mathuravas, residing in the holy place, visiting the holy place where Lord performed His pastimes. And Prabhupada also mentions that all these contemples are as good as Vaikuntha, because the emphasis is pleasing Krishna, so that is Vaikuntha. So taking shelter of these places and deity worship, just like in this month of Chandan Yatra, we decorate Lord with special Chandan and special forms, and we develop our attachment to the Lord. So in that way we can cultivate healthy detachment and healthy attachment. And to conclude today, it's very holy tithi of Ramananda Rai disappearance, and it is very apt to connect that Ramananda Rai was the epitome of detachment, and to the degree of being misunderstood, because he was in his incarnation as Ramananda Rai, Vishakha Sakhi, the Gopi, Vishakha Gopi, appeared as Ramananda Rai, as the associate of Lord Chaitanya. And Ramananda Rai, he was Viceroy, and he was like minister to the King Pratap Rudra. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya specifically mentioned to Lord Chaitanya that whenever you are visiting South India, please make it a point to meet Ramananda Rai. He is a gem of a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya in his South India Yatra, it is one of the highlights of South India Yatra, is the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the bank of Godavari, Kovur, Rajamundri. So this is very unique conversation. I will not go into details, but just to mention that in Gita we find Arjuna asks question and Lord is answering. But in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Supreme Personality, he takes the position of a devotee. He asks Ramananda Rai various questions, that what was the ultimate devotional service. And he asks many questions, and it goes on to higher level. It starts from Varnashram and eventually to Prema Bhakti. And in that, interaction is the essence of the whole philosophy. And Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, in the form of a devotee, taught many principles of devotional service. And also he empowered various devotees to highlight various devotional qualities. Just like through Sanatan Goswami, he taught what is the ideal standard of humility. Through Haridas Thakur, he taught what is the degree of tolerance one can have. Through Damodar Pandit, he taught being straightforward. And for neutrality, the example is Ramananda Rai. Because Ramananda Rai was so detached and he was so neutral that he was even decorating the young girls for the dance of Lord Jagannath. And it is beyond our material conception. But he was so pure, being Vishakha Sakhi in his own original form. He was only on spiritual plane. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that we cannot imitate, neither we can comprehend what Ramananda Rai is doing. He is the person of expressing neutrality. But if we try to imitate our car of devotional service from neutral, it will go to reverse rather than going to neutrality. So it's very important we can take inspiration of detachment, higher level of consciousness from such devotees. So on this day we can pray to Ramananda Rai to cultivate and develop healthy attachment towards Lord and his loving devotional service, and also cultivate healthy detachment from this material world. Shri Ramananda Raya ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. So I would like to request Radha Gopinath Prabhu or any other devotees to please add, comment.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Two things was very impressive, and touched my heart was comparison between Dhritarashtra and Rishabhdev. Incidentally, both had 100 sons.
Yeah.
That's a perfect comparison, and absolutely diametrically opposite in terms of being role model in what they did and what they instructed. And the second was this four cancers, emotional cancers.
Yeah.
I've heard of physical cancer, but this is first time I heard about, not one, four of them.
Actually, there are six. I mentioned four.
Really?
Two I don't recollect, so safe.
This four itself is enough to handle right now. I was just thinking, what is the difference between competing and comparing? Are they arising from the same thing, or is there a subtle difference?
I haven't analyzed in that way, but whatever comes to my mind. Comparison, I think, begins with from low self-esteem, that I am not good enough and others are good. So how can I bridge that gap by what I am not, and showing off that, trying to be externally like other person. I think this is comparison. And competing is, I guess it is, I am not getting my fair share and I want more. This is the urge to have more than whatever the quota is allotted, and having more than person competes. Because in business world also, people are earning enough. But why do they compete? Because they want major, more share, more. They want to take away others' share to enjoy more. I think that consciousness creates more competition. And comparison, I think, is because of low self-esteem. When we are not fulfilled with our talents, our skills, and not grateful, then we think that something external, by becoming like somebody, will be more happy rather than. So, sthane sthita shruti gatam. I think that is the right understanding to avoid this comparison. If we are satisfied, just like Sridhar Kolavecha, he had not that comparison. He was not even participating in Srivas Angan Kirtan, but he had that healthy devotional attitude. He did not compare. But Lord Himself had to send devotees and bring him to that 21 hour kirtan. So that is my understanding. You can add to something, I think. anybody wants? Yeah, bro.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhuji. And first of all, would like to thank you that all the way from Kolhapur, you are here where Suryanarayan is at his peak. I just want to ask you one thing. Right now, we heard that forgiveness is a path towards, or say, to practice spirituality.
Yeah.
But how long to forgive? And the reason behind asking this question is that there are certain people outside this shelter, not under this, because under this we all have one language and we all have one goal to please Krishna. There are certain people who knows that they are wrong in their act,
right,
who are aware that they are, any of the act might disturb someone or say someone's spirituality. So to ignore that person, but how long to ignore that person? And if we are supposed to deal with that person, then how to?
Okay. So forgiveness has various dimensions. Forgiveness does not mean that we condone somebody's behavior and he keeps on doing the same and we get hurt all the time and we still forgive. There are devotees who have practiced devotional service. They are at a very elevated stage, like Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ and all those. But can we begin forgiveness at human level first? Is on human level, it could be setting healthy boundaries, that by having a proper assertive communication that, see, these things hurt me and I still love you, I still care for you. But can we have something called as golden mean of this, that if we avoid these things and set healthy boundaries, so that is also part of forgiveness, so that this hurting things, events don't occur often. And also, forgiveness is gift to oneself. It's not that by forgiving we are like helping the other person. It's for our sake. Because Krishna sees the intention. Krishna sees the our efforts. So when we take this effort to forgive other person, although we may feel that resentment, we may feel that hurt, but we are going extra mile. And if we treat, see from this perspective, that as a devotional practitioner, am I not being forgiven by so many? Is Lord not forgiving me day in and day out, so many thoughts, so many nonsense I do? But is not Lord forgiving, being Paramatma, situated as Paramatma? Is Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, they are not forgiving me for whatever offenses? So it's like we are like child, less like mother forgives the child. And child learns eventually. So similarly, the spiritual acharyas, Lord, they keep on forgiving us till we are innocent. Like if we are doing it intentionally, if somebody is doing intentionally, if somebody is doing deliberately and still seeks forgiveness from Lord, then Lord takes charge. We see so many examples in Shastra that Srivas Pandit and Gopal Chapal, he forgave like so many things. Haridas Thakur, so many incidences, Gopal Chakravarti and all that. But he kept on forgiving for our own purification, our own development. If we develop forgiveness, then Krishna internally will bless us with many spiritual gifts. Because when we are non-forgiving, we cannot enjoy the beauty of devotional service. Because we keep on holding on. And why people don't want to forgive? Because then the whole game ends. We want to hold on to something. Kuch to hona chahiye na ki, to some interaction, some drama should go on. Because this is drama. When ego drama keeps happening when we are non-forgiving. And media adds up. Badla lunga and revenge and all that. The media has a lot to contribute for non-forgiving behavior. But from a devotional perspective or even from human perspective, if we forgive, there is survey about cancer patients. 61% patients admitted of cancer that they had forgiveness issue. Because somehow or other, cancer and forgiveness has some connection. So even for our health, what to speak of devotional life, but even for our own healthy life, forgiveness is important. And ultimately, like for soul, forgiving He has all divine qualities. So forgiveness is more natural for the soul than being non-forgiving. So when we come to our original state of being, that is being Lord, servant of the servant, so eventually that mood of forgiveness will come. And if with that, that ego will also not come that, see, I have forgiven him. With that, we will be in proper mindset. And of course, it is a gradual process. To the degree we cultivate love, we will be more forgiving. Because love and forgiveness go hand in hand. Because why does mother forgive the child? Because she loves the child. Whatever the child does, the mother forgives. Because the love is more than the guilt or offense. So when we develop unconditional love, we will be more forgiving to ourselves and others. Because sometimes we may forgive others, but we don't include ourselves in forgiving list. Because Lord forgives us, devotees forgive us. But then why can't we, in healthy way, forgive ourselves?
If a mother loves a child and that's why she is able to forgive, so we can take it in this way that if a person loves someone, that's why he is angry on his particular act. Because
yeah,
angry also goes with love only.
Yeah, but depending on the intensity and the repercussion of the anger, because sometimes anger, when it is handled and is just like being parent or being teacher, he has to express anger to correct the person. But if anger goes out of control, then only anger is seen, that love is not seen. So it has to be balanced. It needs to be used as a tool. Then getting affected by that anger. That's what I say. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you.